of economic interest. This particular person here was late in 2017, 2019, and 2020. So my recommendation is for 2017, a letter of ed. 2019, we usually look at just for Commissioner Hollister's knowledge, we usually look at 10% or a minimum of $50. And so my recommendation is $50 in 2019, and 2020 at 20% of what is owed, and I rounded that up to $350.
Okay.
So my recommendation is a letter of ed, $50 for 19, $350 for 2020.
All right, any discussion on this one?
And hopefully that will get their attention. I said that out loud.
Mr. Chair, not hearing any questions, I will move approval of on our regular agenda item number 9 involving Celeste Tate to support the staff recommendation on that matter.
Okay, so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Berg? Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Item number 10.
Okay, so item number 10, we have two late filings. 2018 was $30, 3 days late. 2020 was $1,610. And so my recommendation is a letter of education for the first violation of 2018 and $200, which is 10% rounded up, for the second violation of 2020.
Okay.
Again, for the statement of economic interest.
Any discussion on this or questions?
Mr. Chair, on this matter, perhaps I shouldn't be, but I'm partially persuaded by Mr. Hansen's letter. On page 45, where he points out his own potential to having been exposed to the coronavirus, as well as additional time spent on the, quote, school closure issue, unquote. That's partially compelling to me. I understand how that could get in the way of filing a report on time. At the same time, he is somebody who should know their reports to file. So probably in, there are other reasons, hyphen excuses that could exist. So I was just interested if anybody else had a perspective on that issue outlining his letter.
Any other comments from commissioners on this? Well, hearing none, I agree with you, Commissioner Fiskum. I think he, as a superintendent of schools in the midst of a pandemic, I can understand, and obviously getting ill himself, I understand why this could have gone somewhat astray in the spring. So I still think we need to enforce the law, but perhaps a smaller fine than 200, you know, still to make the point, but to understand that there were some extenuating circumstances, perhaps.
Mr. Chair, thank you for that comment, and I agree with what you said. I don't even know off the top of my head is whether there is a solid rationale for a smaller fine as we enforce the law. I'm not arguing that there isn't. I'm not saying there isn't. I just wonder if there is what it is. And you know, the rhetorical question is, how compelled should we be by the indications of the virus being an issue for this gentleman, both in terms of his own person as well as his own school district? I could go with the flow on this one because I have mixed emotions.
Yeah. We could round down to 100. It is possibility. So yeah, I mean, any commissioner wants to make a motion on this, we can certainly discuss it.
This is Commissioner Hollister. I don't have a motion, I have a question,
yes.
If I might, Chair Sosa.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm just curious whether or not in cases of illness in the past we've waived fines for delayed filing.
I can tell you, Commissioner Hollister, that there's an array of issues that come before us, including a lot of health issues on late filings of both statements of economic interest and lobbying client reports. The commission has granted a lot of letters of education for late reports in the past. Usually when we get these multiple year filers, there usually is some type of, civil sanction that's given to them, but we have in the past also just clumped them all together into a letter of education because of multiple issues, including health issues. So, it's just kind of what the commission wants to do at the time, I believe, and what kind of argument the person has made. So, I'm okay with anything you guys want to do, obviously. I mean, we could put a letter of education together to say, you know, it's a little more strongly worded, you know. Obviously, this person believes that it's important to file. I think they pointed that out. They claim it's their responsibility, so they're not kind of blaming anybody. So, sounds like they're real.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. First of all, I don't find the staff recommended fine to be, if you will, exorbitant or too high, so to speak. But in light of what Mr. Burston just said, I will move that we send a strongly worded letter of education that could come close to being a letter of reprimand, to use terminology, to Mr. Hansen in lieu of a fine.
Okay. I'm so moved for a strongly worded letter of education. Any discussion on the motion?
Chair Associates, Commissioner O'Day, if I might.
Yes, Commissioner O'Day, go ahead.
Thank you. I support the motion, and I do believe that actually a letter of reprimand is one of the tools. It's in our toolkit, and maybe more appropriate here because there are two missed filings. I like Commissioner Fiskin, and I'm very sympathetic to the individual. These are unprecedented times for all of us, and I think help is an allowable excuse for the commission to show leniency here. We do have two violations, though, one from 2018, which is not explained. So I think a strongly worded letter of education is appropriate, but I'm going to put the emphasis on the strong, as I think even a letter of reprimand might be the more appropriate, given that it's two here under these circumstances. But, it's judgment call. I can be persuaded either way, but I'm very much willing to support the motion because of the strongly worded part of it. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Bay. Any other comments?
This is Commissioner Hollister. I also support the motion based on the response by Mr. Hansen. I think that we are living through unprecedented times, and given the pandemic and the state of emergency and the fact that this particular individual may have actually been experiencing COVID-19 during the time he was required to file, I find those reasons compelling, not because And I agree with Commissioner O'Day's rationale.
Thank you, Commissioner Hollister. Any other comments? All right, so roll call vote for a strongly worded letter of education.
Okay. Commissioner O'Day?
I'm an aye, thank you.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason? Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right. Item number 11.
So this item was before the last time. It was put off till this meeting. In 2017,
U-Daily.
Was 3 days late, but they paid the $30 fine for being late in 2017. 2020, they're 15 days late. My recommendation for a second violation of a minimum of $50.
Okay. Any discussion or questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the staff recommendation for matter number 11 on our regular agenda involving Chloe Udaly.
Okay, so moved. Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? Yes, Commissioner Mason.
My apologies. Before Fiskum spoke, Chair of Commissioner Fiskum, I was trying to jump in. I had a problem with my view, but so I feel like this is a different situation than what we just discussed with Mr. Hansen for a second violation. I think what concerns me and Ms. Daly's letter was that the man was a job in the campaign and simply lost track of the second violation. I know she's a full-time commissioner during the campaign, but she found a second violation. My opinion should be given due reduction. So I would move to accept the $150 penalty based on previous
violation. Okay, got it. Well, thank you, Commissioner Mason. We currently have a motion on the...
Chair, if it's appropriate under your orders, not having heard Mr. Mason, I would withdraw my motion.
Okay. All right, so Commissioner Fiskum's motion is withdrawn. Commissioner Mason's motion is now put forward to have the full penalty of $150. And that is the motion that's currently before us. Any discussion on the motion?
Can I ask a question, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Mason, can you explain the rationale for the higher fine as you propose the motion?
Well, I just think that first of all, I appreciate Commissioner Fiskum, especially with technological. I feel like when we come out of executive session or something, I have something to happen with my but anyway, I think that there's a, I didn't speak up with regards to the prior situation, and I think that Commissioner Hollister definitely gave a good rationale for, not filing due to health issues. I still think that I question the precedent that we set by just completely waiving the fine for a second violation. So it is understandable. I just don't think that letter justifies in the daily situation that there's a justification, based on, I think the current dynamic. When you're in a campaign, it is important to file the paperwork timely. We just saw that with the executive session with Selma Pierce. So I just think that you need to send more of a message of reducing a penalty for a violation. I think it should be more significant. Especially, I think you go from $30 to $50. That doesn't necessarily represent a strongly worded letter of invitation. One of the commissioners advised in the previous case.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Mason. Anybody else wish to speak on the motion? I would say for me, I appreciate Commissioner Mason's comments, but I think we have routinely, on second violations, we have routinely reduced it down to either 10% or a minimum of $50. I think $50 in this case, I think is fine. So I wouldn't support the full $150. I think I would lean more toward the staff recommendation, but that's just my opinion on it. So, but we do have a motion before us to accept the full $150 penalty. So unless there are any more discussions on that, we can proceed with a roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Nay.
Commissioner Starr?
Nay.
Commissioner Burke?
Nay, with respect to that.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Nay.
Commissioner Hollister?
Nay.
Chair Sosa?
Nay.
Motion fails. 6-1.
Okay, so with that then, we're back to where we started.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the staff recommendation on item number 11 on our regular agenda involving Chloe Utley.
Okay, so Mr. Fiskum's motion is to accept the $50 fine. So unless there's any more discussion, we'll proceed with a roll call vote.
Just to deliver the point, I just want to weigh in just briefly.
Yes.
I appreciate the spirit with which Commissioner Mason's motion was made. You know, I do think we need to send the appropriate signal. Education is primary. Sometimes a fine helps reinforce the message. And I am very much persuaded by your points. I think it's important that this commission remain consistent, that generally a second violation is 10% or $50, whichever is greater. I think that's what's the right result here, and that's why I'll be supporting the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Day. Any other comments? Okay. All right, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke? Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right. So we've been going for about 90 minutes now. So you usually have to take a break, 5-minute break every 90 minutes. So let's break for 5 minutes. We'll come back and then we'll push through the rest of the agenda. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. All right then. So we are back and continuing on. So item number 12, stipulated final order.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sorry, I was talking and it wasn't off mute. I apologize. So this is commissioners and Chair Sosa. This is the matter of 16 John. Case number 20-032-DLC. It's item 12 in your meeting book. Ms. John is a teacher at Scenic Middle School in Central Point, Oregon. Ms. John used her position as a public official for financial gain in that she accepted gifts in excess of a $50 gift limit, and she planned and facilitated trips with ES stewards to students and parents and received reward points for organizing such trips, and also appointed her husband as a chaperone for one trip with students. After considering the preliminary review report in this matter, the commission voted to move the matter to investigation. Rather than complete the investigative phase, Ms. John and her attorney, Margaret Olney, wished to settle her case for a $500 fine, which was in the range allowed under the penalty matrix. Stipulated final order is signed by the respondent and is in your meeting book for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, just a quick question. First up, Ms. Kristen, can you summarize one more time for me the rationale for the size of the fine? I didn't quite hear everything you said.
Yes, there's several issues that were presented here involving the number of trips that were taken, the amount of money that she received. It was in excess of $2,500 of value. The accrual of points took place over a period of time, and again, we did go back, you know, as we were limited to 4 years regarding these trips that were taken. Essentially, Ms. Bond was organizing trips with students through EF tours and approaching students, parents, et cetera, through her employment as a teacher, public official with the Scenic Middle School and the Jackson County School District number 6. She did chaperone students on many of these trips. In doing so, she did receive global rewards points, and that was really the crux of the matter. When she was receiving these points, they were accruing to a point where, again, she was able to take a trip to Egypt and only pay for a minimal amount. Most of the trip was paid for by the rewards points that she had accrued as a result of facilitating trips in the past. So, therefore, the penalty matrix allowed us to take a look at, you know, again, the time that had gone on, the amount of money at issue, and assess what value she received at the end of it. We also had an issue with her husband had been named as a chaperone for one of the trips, so was able to, in essence, take a vacation with his wife, albeit with some students, but in any event, that she had appointed him as a chaperone, and there was some value assigned to that as well.
So that's where the dollar amount came from. We plugged everything into our matrix. The dollar amount, the number of trips, and the number of years over which the Fed occurred, I presented it to our executive director, and that amount was used.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I'll entertain a motion.
I move we approve the recommended settlement for Ms. Johns.
So moved. Thank you, Commissioner Stark. That is the motion to approve it. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day? Commissioner O'Day?
I'm getting poor audio quality. That was an aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. Item 13.
Chair Sosa, commissioners, item 13 in your book is a stipulated final order for Brian Rake. Mr. Rake is the mayor of Carlton. As commissioners may recall, at its last meeting, commission moved this matter to investigation. In addition to being mayor, Brian Rake owns the Carlton Coffee Company, located on Main Street in downtown Carlton. At two meetings this spring, the Carlton City Council discussed and voted to ask ODOT to reroute Highway 47 north of downtown, which would have a financial impact on Mr. Rake's business. Brian Rake did not disclose any conflicts of interest at these meetings. Following the commission's meeting, Mr. Rake indicated a willingness to enter this stipulation. He has also since then emailed us asking for advice on conflicts of interest. The stipulated final order in your meeting books provides for him to receive a letter of education, which is in accordance with the penalty matrix. And we are recommending the commission approve this order.
Thank you. Any questions on this or discussion?
Chairman Sosa, this is Commissioner O'Day, if I might real quick.
Commissioner O'Day, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to declare a bias, and as such I will be recusing myself on this. As many of you know, my previous employment was as the executive director of the Mid-Willamette Valley Council of Governments, which is a intergovernmental entity made up of units of local governments to include the city of Carlton. Mayor Rake is somebody with whom I worked closely, consider him a friend, and because of that relationship, will declare a bias and will recuse myself. In addition, I did not participate in this matter when it first came before the commission, and so feel that even notwithstanding that relationship, would have some hesitation participating today anyway. So I just want to get that out there, and I'll sit this one out. Thank you
for sure, Dave.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Fiskum.
A question for staff. I think for staff, assume because, as page 59, the notion of a class consisting of downtown Carlton business owners does not apply, was there ever a rationale for a fine associated with this stipulated order as part of our education process?
Okay, the class issue was raised because during the city council's meeting there, the legal counsel that was present at the time gave some questionable advice on how to define a class. Since then, we, in talking with Mr. Rake, have clarified that process. But in looking at the penalty matrix, really, this was a potential conflict of interest, not an actual conflict. And it comes out as pretty much at the bottom of the points.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, hearing that, I will move that we adopt the staff-proposed stipulated final order involving Mr. Brian Rake from the City of Corvallis, item 13 on our regular session agenda.
All All right, thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none, we can do the roll call vote to approve.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day to abstain. Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0 with one abstention.
All right, moving into the default final orders. Monica, were we able to get two of these folks on the line?
I am working with that, and I have not gotten a response.
We'll just proceed on down the list, and we get them on. Great.
It is. I will say it's a public meeting, so they can enter at any time.
They can enter at any time. Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right, then. Item number 14.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, as a preface to all of these default final orders, and for Commissioner Hollister's benefit, I'll say that these are all for late filings of the statements of economic interest required by ORS 244.050. And that same statute says that the commission may impose civil penalties for late filing. And it also says in the 244.350, the penalty statute, that the commission does not have to go through the regular procedure for regular cases on these SEI filings. They just need to do their own process, I suppose, and we have a process. So as a preface to the individual circumstances in each of these cases, all of these public officials were required by law to file a statement of economic interest with the commission on or before April 15th of the year in which they held the position that required filing. The law requires the commission to notify all those who have yet to file when they're late at 5 days past the due date and alert them that civil penalties will begin to accrue if the SEI is not filed within the next 15 days. So that's the grace period. And the civil penalties, which are also set out by law, do not begin accruing until early May. So in the case of Patrick Jensen, he was the planning commissioner for the city of Amity in 2018, and he failed to file the required SEI until July 19th, thereby accruing $3,060 in late penalties. Despite numerous notices and phone calls, Mr. Jensen has failed to request a reduction in civil penalty, as you saw earlier on the agenda, or pay the civil penalty, or request a contested case. And 2018 was Mr. Jensen's only year on the Planning Commission. So the default final order is in your meeting book for approval.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions or discussion on this? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the default final order involving item number 14 on our regular session agenda, referring to Mr. Patrick Jensen.
So moved. Thank you. Commissioner
Fiskum? Can I just make a quick comment?
Yes. Sure.
So I just want to be clear that this is a necessary step that we take so we can create a vehicle that we can collect these fines for. This is the very end of the process. These folks, as we've been working with them, to try to get them to file these or pay these fines, work with us. Even after this default final order comes out, they still have appeal rights. So once that expires, then we roll like a collecting. But this is another one of those kind of necessary steps that we have to do. Even though the statute says that they will pay a late fine for filing, as you can see earlier, you were waiving some of those fines or changing some of those fines. These folks refuse to kind of play in that process, and so we're creating these default final orders so that we can move this process forward and have the state collect the fines.
Right. So yeah, and so a default final order then is when they're not engaging with us at the outset, like we said.
They have not engaged through numerous invitations from the staff here, and so unfortunately, like I said, but I can't just tell the Department of Revenue that somebody owes money. I have to create the vehicle which they can collect from. And so that's what we have in front of us. And if they do not appeal this within, 21 days?
60 days.
60 days, then we'll move it forward.
Okay. Understood. All right. So a motion was made on this by Commissioner Fiskum to approve the default final order for item 14. So unless there's discussion, roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day? Commissioner O'Day?
Commissioner O'Day, are you with us?
I am. I'm just not sure if you all can hear me.
Yeah, we can see you. Excellent.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, item 15.
Okay. This is John Mims, who is the city councilor for the city of Hines in 2018, and he failed to file the required SEI until June 14th, thereby accruing $1,310 in late penalties. At that time, he spoke with the commission staff and was advised to send in a letter requesting reduction or waiver of the civil penalty, which is also in the written notices that we give. He said he would do so, but despite numerous notices since then, he's failed to request a reduction in the penalty, pay the penalty, or request a contested case. And 2018 was Mr. Mims' only year on the City Council. So the default order's in your meeting book for approval.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I ask, the fine here is 1310. The bottom of page 69.
Brian Posse.
What's the difference between 1340 and 1310?
Oh, because it says
it's $30. I know that difference, but what's the rationale for the difference?
Oh, that the system automatically accrues at. The statute allows us to charge $10 for the first 14 days that someone's late and then $50 thereafter.
Okay.
For a maximum of $5,000. But our system, the computer, there's a little glitch maybe, I don't know, but we undercharge.
Okay.
Because we charge $10 for the first 16 days. So on our records, it shows one thing. We could have charged a little more.
Okay.
But
the 1310 is the recommendation.
That's what the record shows, yeah.
Thank you.
And that little glitch has been corrected in the system.
Oh, great. That's it. It's been fixed.
Mr. Chair, if you're ready, I'm ready with
yes.
a motion.
Yes.
Hearing no discussion, I will move approval of the default final order on item number 15 in our agenda involving Mr. John Mims.
Okay, so moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Commissioner Sean O'Day?
Is now joining.
I'm so sorry, I didn't catch
Commissioner
that.
Commissioner Sean O'Day?
Is now exiting.
Oh, Mason said yes.
Did Mason say
yes.
aye? Okay. And Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Right, item 16, Elaine Bachlan.
Ms. Gotham wanted to address the commission, so did she
has not responded. I've emailed
okay.
or texted several times. So.
Oh, and I want to tell the commission, too, that items 17 and 18 have been removed from the agenda.
Okay.
So we won't be considering those. And I think Mr. Hobson is here, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
Yes. Okay, well then we'll give Ms.
Number 19.
We'll give Ms. Bachum some time
okay.
to get on the line then. So, Mr. Hobson, are you with us?
I am, sir.
Okay, very good. My name is Nathan Sosa. I'm chair of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. This is the time for us to evaluate the proposed default final order in regard to your case. So we're going to first hear from our staff in regard to the what's occurred on this case and why we have the default final order in front of us, and then we'll give you an opportunity to say anything that you would like to add, and then our commission will be voting as to whether or not to approve the proposed default final order. So with that, staff report, please.
Okay, Mr. Hodson was member of the Canby City Council and mayor in 2017 and 2018 and failed to file his 2017 SEI until August 12th and his 2018 SEI until May 9th, accruing a total civil penalty of $4,210. Despite numerous notices and some phone contact, Mr. Hodson has failed to request a reduction in penalties, pay the penalties, or request a contested case. He continues to serve as the Canby mayor, and he timely filed his 2019 and 2020 SEIs.
Thank you, Ms. Gould. Any questions for staff? All right, Mr. Hodson, this is your opportunity to say anything you'd like to add.
If I may, I have a prepared statement I just would like to read. Thank you for your time this afternoon. I really do appreciate it, and I will be brief. I do understand the fine that has been levied, and I apologize that those periods went by without me meeting those expectations. Those times were trying for me personally and professionally, most recently with some health issues and being out of work for almost 7 months. Most recently, with the appeal window, I began a new job or career working in assisted living for adults. With the start of a new career, I had the opportunity to be introduced to the norovirus as well as a pandemic. And as you know, in an adult living situation, that's a challenge. Juggling the new career and everything that was going on, and with being a mayor of the city during a pandemic, and norovirus, a father and a husband left little time for much else. I do know that I missed those opportunities to address my my error, and I apologize for that. I'm not asking for the fine to be eliminated. I admit the oversight. I'm asking for hopefully a reduced penalty fee and the ability to make payments to pay it off over the next 24 months. As we are trying to get back on our feet financially and family. I thank you for the time and letting me address you this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Hodson. We appreciate you being here. Do any commissioners have any questions for Mr. Hodson?
Chair, so this is Commissioner Day, but
yes.
Commissioner
Day.
Mr. Hodson, you said you're working for a skilled nursing facility now. Congratulations on the job. It wouldn't happen to be either of the ODVA facilities, would it? Because if so, then I would have a conflict that I would need to declare.
At this point, sir, I do not know if that's the case. The facility, I work for a management company that oversees the operations of an adult community board investment group. So I'm not sure if we fall underneath the pieces you mentioned, so I can't speak to that. I'm sorry.
Would it be either West Care or Veteran Care Centers of Oregon?
It is not designated as either one of those, no.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. I don't have a conflict.
Yes, Commissioner Fiskin.
Mr. Chair, in light of the fact that Mr. Hodson, is actually on the line today talking with us, which is and has apologized for his failure to follow through in previous times, months and set of years, et cetera. Are there any other options for us as a commission than the default order?
There's every option available to you. I mean, you can treat this like you treated other folks in the front of the book today that have asked for consideration on their penalties. You can approve the fall final order. I mean, you basically have any option.
I appreciate that, Mr. Burson. The thought that crossed my mind without advocating for it, at least not yet, is in light of Mr. Hodson's appearance as well as comments, is there any reason to not move forward with a default final order and instead move to a negotiated settlement? And I maybe have mixed up options in that sentence, so forgive me.
Yeah.
If he's really willing
what
to sign up to this problem,
is you could do like you've done with the other folks and give, you know, the other folks that we went through that had multiple years of not filing, you could tell him what penalties he owes for 2017 and 2018. If he made those payments, then that's would end the matter. If he did not make those payments, then we would come to you with a default final order on what was owed at that time. So those folks that are at the front of the, but you're not creating a default final order there. You're just saying you owe that amount. If they pay that amount, then we've been through.
So in looking at this, I have a question because we've got two sets of violations here. We have the 2017 and then we have the 2018. If we were to treat him as we have with others and the 2017 would be a letter of education, what would be the fine for the 2018?
$30. Because that's the maximum amount, which is underneath the minimum amount
right.
that he normally charged for a second violation of $50.
Right. So we.
But you couldn't charge the $50 because he did not accrue $50 in that second.
It'd be 30. So it'd be a letter of ed plus $30.
That's what you would look at if.
If we went that route.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it should be pointed out. I mean, I'm not here to advocate for anything. But I believe, Diane, you had said that he has filed 19 and 20 timely.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like the time of being late may be over. So
yeah.
In all fairness to the mayor.
Yeah, and I would just say, Mr. Hodson, the thing that I think it's frustrating for me personally as a commissioner is when we've got someone who has not complied with the law and who has not engaged with the commission for a period of years. That is frustrating for me as a commissioner because I understand that life happens, I understand that things are going on, but this is an obligation that every public official in the state of Oregon has to comply with. And to not engage with us is frustrating, and I think it shows disrespect for the law and disrespect for our system. But I do appreciate very much the fact that you are here today. I appreciate your statement today and the contrition that you've showed. And as Commissioner O'Day said, I applaud you for the new job. I hope that's working out well for you. So with that, I mean, I'm willing to be lenient in this case because of him showing up here today and trying to make this right, but I would encourage you, sir, going forward, that engaging with us when you need to is not a recommendation, it's a requirement. So.
That's a question. I'm sorry, Amy, are you there?
Yes.
So can I ask you a question? So if the commission chooses to change these amounts, can we simply change the amounts in the default final order so to reflect whatever that change is so that we don't have to come back for another vehicle if it's not paid? I mean, could we do that?
Yes, I think you could do that. You could entertain a motion for a default final order with the amounts that the commission wants to.
Yeah, I think that would be better if we could do that. That way if for some reason the fines are not paid, then I have a collection vehicle that I can send to the Department of Revenue. So if you folks decide to change the dollar.
Yeah, no, this is for me, Mr. Chair, this is a helpful discussion. I still remain uneasy knowing what our options are. On one hand, we have Mr. Hodson, who's potential fine today if the default order were approved is $4,200+. The other side of that coin is maybe not the right answer either, which is a letter of education and $30. And then the last thing to state the obvious is my unease is created by the fact of the matter for all of us is that Mr. Hodson is with us and has been contrite, as you've enunciated, Mr. Sosa. So it's hard for me to know what exactly the best option is here.
Compelling fact for me is that he has paid on time the last two.
Good point.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Burke.
Mr. Chair, I'll throw a motion out there that we go with the default final order, as our executive director suggests, with a fine of $750.
For the first violation.
Well, you could do $720 for the first violation and $30 for the second.
So would you be divvying that up? Would you be divvying that up $30 on the second one, and then $720 on the first violation?
Yeah, so I'm just thinking in terms of total amount. I think for, I think we do need to have some kind of a significant fine. I think this amount is a significant amount of money for a family that's struggling, and at the same time accomplishes our educational mission.
Right. So that is the motion. And Mr. Burson, how does it work in turn? He mentioned payment plans. How does that work? Can you address that, or is that something that is outside the jurisdiction?
The commission routinely does payment plans here, but they're short term. I say that we're usually looking within a year's time, so that's what we're looking at. We've gone maybe a little longer than that, but not much, because we are really not designed to be a collection agency here. But we have done that in the past. If they miss payments, though, then we do send it to the Department of Revenue and let the professional collectors in the state of Oregon do those collections.
Okay, so that is the motion then. Between the two violations, it would then be $720 fine for the first violation and a $30 fine for the second violation for a total of $750. That is the motion. Any discussion on the motion?
This is Commissioner Hollister. I appreciate the motion and Commissioner Burke's willingness to start us off. I'm just a little concerned about whether or not that approach is consistent with the manner in which we treated the SEI late filings earlier on the agenda. I'm looking at item number 9, Ms. Tate, where she was fined $350. Also had a long period of noncompliance, actually spread over 3 years, which is arguably more significant, but we only assessed her a fine of $350. So I'm just a little concerned that we're not being consistent with a $750 fine, and so I plan to vote against the motion and would be open to bringing a motion for a lesser amount.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Richard. This is Commissioner Burke again.
Yes, Commissioner Burke.
I want to thank Commissioner Hollister. It was my intent to just kick off the discussion. I would be very happy to support an amendment to my motion to set a different amount that the commission thinks is more consistent with past action.
Any further discussion on this?
Hey, Chair, can I say something?
Yes, Commissioner Mason.
Thank you. No, I agree with Richard. I think that, I think you can show compassion and appreciation for them, for the gentleman getting on the call, but also respecting, I think the Chair Sosa said it right. You've got to... I mean, you do have some penalties that and some avoidance for multiple years, but I think the whole idea of having a commission and having a discussion is to come up with additional compromises. And I would support Commissioner Burke's $750. I think it's a fair reduction, for multiple years. So I would be in support of the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum.
This is a question for staff, pursuant to Ms. Hollister's comment. I think I know, but what's the difference in status between item number 9 and item number 19? Isn't it that the SEI penalty correspondence item to which Ms. Hollister referred is somebody who's still dealing with us? And the reason for a default final order is that until today we had somebody who wasn't dealing with us, and that's not said with legal niceties, but isn't that a difference?
Yeah, they requested, the people in the front of the book requested mitigation.
Yes.
And all of our correspondence, and when we speak to these people,
we stress that that's important, and they haven't done it for whatever reason.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I will also say that item number 9 had penalty of $1,610 for their 2020 filing, $90 for their 2019 filing, and $60 for 2017. So all three of those did not add up to the one that's late. So it's hard to compare numbers. Remember, they're getting charged $10 a day for the first 14 days and $50 after that. So the person we have, the mayor that we have before us right now, was quite a bit late that first time, almost hit the $5,000 mark. So even though this was 3 years being late, it didn't add up. She wasn't as late as the mayor was with one. But again, I think the record for the last 2 years has been timely. So I think that's...
So my feeling on this is I think that we need to be clear that you cannot ignore the commission for years with something like this and it not be a problem. But I think that $750 I think is high. I would be more comfortable with something less than that. Whether it's $250 or something thereabouts, because I do have a problem with people not engaging with us when they should. But I think $750 is a bit high. So that's my feedback on it. To the extent that Commissioner Burke would want to amend his motion or the extent to which any other commissioners have weigh in on this, I'd be happy to hear it.
Well, I Mr. Chair, at the risk of stepping on lines of Mistress Burke and Hollister, to me, there's no magic in a number. We try to have a rationale for number, as I think your comments indicated. If there's a lesser number that two of our commissioners have expressed a concern would have in mind, I'm very happy to listen to that. I think the issue for me is that Mr. Hodson is subject to, under a default order, a far larger fine, and we are mitigating that in light of his commentary, his appearance, his commentary, his contrition, all of which I appreciate. It helps to blunt the blow of his ignoring the commission for 2 or 3 years. So I can go with any number that somebody thinks makes sense.
So that we have a rationale, here's what I'm thinking on this. His fine is currently $4,210. Were we to approximately assess 10% of that, that would be $420.
Right.
Let's round it up. We could round it to $430. $400 for the first violation. The $30 for the second violation. $430 is still a significant amount. There is a rationale for it, 10%. And I think it satisfies the education factor and there being some accountability for it. So that would be my recommendation. I don't know if Commissioner Burke feels the same, if he wants to amend his motion, but that would be where I would go with it.
I would be happy to offer that amendment to my motion.
Okay. All right. So any discussion on the modified motion? The motion now is $400 fine for the first violation, $30 fine for the second violation, for a total of $430.
This is Commissioner Hollister. I concur with that rationale, and what I think is important here is that we are acknowledging that not engaging with the commission is a problem, and that had this individual engaged, it's likely they would have been receiving a letter of education for that first violation, and so that's a pretty significant penalty to be paying for non-engagement. So I think that still comes through with the $430 fine. So thank you for offering that, Chair Sessa and Commissioner Burke.
And Mr. Chair, that would be embedded in the default final order, am I right?
Correct. Thank it you. Would be an amended default final order for $400 for the first violation, $30 for the second violation. Yep.
So that motion is on the table.
That motion is on the table. So, all right, unless there's any further discussion.
Can I just come in for this?
Yes.
I'm not sure it would be amended because you've never voted on the default. I think it would just be the default final order. I don't think we have to. We've never approved a default final order, so I don't think you have to amend it.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Alpa. I appreciate that clarification. So it is a default final order with a fine of $400 for the first violation and $30 for the second violation. Okay. Unless there's any further discussion, roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. So, Mr. Hodson, we really do appreciate you being here with us today, and so this default order will be signed and submitted to you, and you can, our staff will be in touch with you going forward.
Hi, gentlemen and our commission, thank you very much. I appreciate the conversation, and I appreciate your grace on this matter very much.
Thank you.
It means a lot. So I will, if there is ever a situation in the future, will do better to engage early and often.
Give us a call.
All right, sounds good. Thank you very much, Mr. Hodson. You have a pleasant day.
You as well. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So has Ms. Bauckham? We'll go. Yeah, let's just jump back to her then. We'll get that one done and we'll move on to the others.
Okay.
So item 16, Elaine Bauckham.
So Ms. Bauckham was planning commissioner for the city of Tillamook and failed to timely file the SEI in each of the years that she served, 2017, 2018, 2019. The Ethics Commission waived the 2017 late filing penalty of $2,350 and issued a letter of education instead to Ms. Bauckham. In 2018, she failed to file until June 4th, and in 2019, she failed to file until May 8th, accruing $840 in late penalties. Despite numerous notices since that time, she's failed to request a reduction, pay the penalty, or request a contested case. 2019 was her last year on the Planning Commission. The default final order's in your meeting book for approval. Ms. Bauckham did call me and say that she wanted to attend today by phone to address the commission, and what she told me was that she's no longer on the Planning Commission, so she thought that was significant, and that she doesn't have any money to pay. So, but I don't know why she didn't show up today. But anyway.
All right, well, thank you for that. Any questions or discussion? Yeah, I'll entertain a motion.
Hearing no discussion, Mr. Chair, I will move approval of the default final order on item number 16 involving Elaine Bauckham.
So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day? Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Item number 20, Jessica Aldrich.
Jessica Aldrich was city councilor for the city of Weston in 2019 and failed to file her SEI until May 21st, thereby accruing $160 in penalty. Despite numerous notices and phone contact, she has failed to request a reduction in penalty, pay the penalty, or request a contested case. She timely filed her 2020 SEI, and she remains on the City Council today. So the DFO is the default final orders in your meeting book for approval.
Thank you. Any questions? Any discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move approval of the default final order on item number 20 involving Ms. Jessica Aldrich.
So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye. Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Item 21, Jody Hafer.
Jody Hafer was city councilor for the city of Somerville in 2016 and 2017 and failed to timely file her SEIs in each of those years, accumulating $7,530 in penalties. The commission considered her request for mitigation at the time and waived all civil penalties and issued a letter of education. In 2018, Ms. Hafer again failed to file her SEI until May 9th, and in 2019, she failed to file till June 3rd, accruing another $840 in civil penalties. She's no longer a city councilor. She did not request a contested case or a reduction. The default final order is in your meeting book.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion on this one? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the default final order involving Ms. Jody Hafer, item 21 on our regular session agenda.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right. On to the reports of investigations, and note that these five are all the same matter, but we can begin with item 22 for Brett Webb, staff report.
Chair Sosa, commissioners, items 22 to 26 are investigative reports for the five members of the Board of Commissioners for the Court of Port Orford. At its February meeting, the commission moved these cases to investigation. The focus of the investigation was to determine if there was sufficient evidence to indicate that the board, at its December 17th meeting, entered an executive session without citing statutory authority and then discussed unauthorized matters. The respondents acknowledged that at that meeting they did enter without citing any statutory authority. While there was some discussion of pending litigation, the board failed to cite the specific reasons and statutes that authorized the executive session. The issue was what they discussed when they went into executive session. In this case, we had a difference of opinion among the board members, both when they presented to you at preliminary review and in subsequent interviews. Some of them said that they were discussing pending litigation, a trial that was coming up, and the issue was a decision about who would sit at the table with Attorney Ron Downs. But one of the board members insisted no, they were discussing a separate matter involving fisheries, and that during the executive session they called Attorney Robin Miller. We needed to clarify that because one would have been a permissible discussion and the other would not, because ORS 1926602H requires that for attorney consults, the attorney must be present. In the course of the investigation, we were able to determine that the discussion involving Attorney Robin Miller and the fisheries occurred at a later meeting. Commissioner Bassett apologized profusely for any confusion that he caused by mixing up the dates. It does appear that the commission, the Port Commission, went into executive session improperly, and while in executive session discussed pending litigation, but no attorney was present. Therefore, the reports in your meeting books recommend that the commission make preliminary findings of two violations, and the respondents have indicated a willingness to enter stipulated final orders once these findings are made.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Any questions for staff? Any discussion on the matter?
I have a question for counsel on this.
Yes, Commissioner Hollister, go ahead.
So I'm curious with respect to the issue discussed on page 8 of the investigative report, the
participant is now adjourned.
It cites the AG Public Records Manual. And so my question is, can we treat the AG Public Records Manual as, do we give deference to it? Is it how we interpret the law? I mean, it's stated in this investigative report as if it is the law. And so I'm just trying to get my head around, as a commissioner, what deference I should give to these opinions, especially when there's no rules on point. So could you help me navigate that?
Yeah, I can try, and I'm sure Commissioner O'Day might chime in with a different answer. So it's persuasive authority because this is a state agency, and that is considered an opinion of the Attorney General in that manual. But I know Mr. O'Day, Commissioner O'Day, has taken issue with that at times. But it is not the law, but it is the AG's interpretation of the law, which in most cases state agencies listen to.
Does it also contain best practices, or is it always the law?
It is intended to interpret the law. That is what it is intended to do.
Very thorough.
Yeah, and since Ms. Alba opened the door, I really appreciate it. So the difference of opinion is whether or not the AG's manual and AG's opinions are binding on units of local government that are home rule in nature. I have taken the position in the past that the AG opinions are not binding on home rule entities. But in this case, this is a special district which is created by statute and as such doesn't enjoy the same home rule status, so I am actually in 100% agreement with Ms. Alba on this one. So thanks, Amy, for the opening.
Wow.
Let the record be recorded. Two attorneys agreed.
Yeah.
That's noteworthy.
All right.
Right, Nathan?
Yes. Yes. All right. Very good. Any further questions or discussion on this? Okay. I will entertain a motion then in regard to item number 22.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the staff recommendation on item number 22, making a preliminary finding of two violations of ORS 192-660 for the Port of Port Orford.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right, item 23.
Mr. Chair, same motion, approve the staff recommendation on item 23.
So moved. Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Item 24.
Mr. Chair, same recommendation on item number 24.
All right, so moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Item 25.
Mr. Chair, same recommendation, item number 25.
All right, so moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
And finally, item 26.
And Mr. Chair, same recommendation, item number 26.
So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right, we are in the home stretch. Staff advice, correspondence, items 27 through 30. Does anyone have any questions on this that they wanted to bring to staff?
Well, if I might, Commissioner.
Yes, Commissioner Day.
I'm going to drop off the call for a 1 o'clock meeting here. Before I did, just want to compliment the staff on the budget. Ron, you did a really nice job. Thank you for putting that together. In fact, this is my own budget meeting that I've got to run to jump into, so I can appreciate just what those are. So,
to give him another month.
Your work
before
I go to my next meeting. So,
right.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Commissioner, thank you so much. Great to see you. Alrighty. Okay, then on to item number 31, the trainer's report.
All right. Chair Sosa and commissioners, in your meeting materials, you will find a report that reflects the training that Becky and I have, or that has taken place since the last commission meeting. As well as the August webinar calendar. Training conducted continues to be limited to online webinar training via the Adobe Connect virtual platform. Becky has joined me in each session that we have provided, and her onboarding is going very well. I have to say it is really so nice to have a partner to work with again and to have a full staff. So thank you.
Thank you.
So along with adjusting to the new standard of our training and converting our training materials to a more virtual platform, we were able to adapt our sessions to continue polling our attendees and our audience to measure their knowledge before we start training them and after we start training them in order to continue to provide statistics for our key performance measures. We have found that this virtual process works just as good, if not a little bit better, than the trainings that we have administered in person. As far as keeping our attendees captivated or engaged into the sessions. In addition, the new virtual trainings offer some additional resources for attendees. For example, it allows kind of an instant messaging during. So for those that aren't comfortable in speaking out loud during a training session, they can type it in and provide it in writing. So that's kind of a nice feature that the virtual piece adds to that. We also have the capability of providing our handouts that are available as part of that training that they can tap into. We send those to them before, but they also have it then available at that training. And that's like the guide to public officials, an overview of 244, any of our flow charts that we have out there, such as the lobby registration or gift exclusions, those charts that we have available. It also allows us, I believe, for more accurate tracking or monitoring of who is actually in attendance, because it not only monitors, as you can see during your commission meetings, who enters and who exits, and so it's somewhat more accurate there. So to provide another update, we did provide training to the city of Troutdale. If you recall, at the last June meeting, we reported that they rescheduled for an on-site training, and we were wondering if we would have to cancel that as well, but no, they were able to convert and set it up for a virtual meeting, and we provided those. It was a two-session deal, so it was all day long. We had a morning session and an afternoon session. And we provided the same quality training that we would in person. So other than that, that concludes our training report, unless there's questions.
Well, I think you're doing a fantastic job.
All right, thank you very much.
Keep doing it. One thing that's just helpful for me as a commissioner, and you've said it a few times, I know you follow up on that, but on items on our agenda when we happen to highlight the need for training because somebody has, pardon me, screwed up or made a mistake or whatever, and they're open to training, I know you're following up on that with some specificity, so thank you for doing that, because that's really, that shows that people who want the training are willing to then focus on it, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right. Last but not least, the Executive Director Report.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So, as far as our current biennial budget that we're in, I know there's a lot of things in the news right now about the state's budget really being in trouble because of COVID-19. We are not part of that discussion. It's really a general fund discussion that's out there. So currently, I'm projecting a surplus, or you know, in our budget of just under $100,000. I will tell you, however, that it'll probably come down just a little bit because, like I said, we're having to buy some more equipment around here, especially laptops and cell phones. I think we got the bill for that the other day. It's going to be about $7,000 for that equipment. So our people can work from home. Like you notice that. So anyway, we're trying as a state to try to kind of do our job a different way. And so people are now trying to work a little bit more remotely. So there's some savings that come in that, but there's also some expenses. But like I say, we are going to have to pay that a little bit more expenses. And then you also saw today where we have a case before us that the Department of Justice is conflicted on, and so they required us to hire outside counsel, which, you know, that isn't something that we budgeted for. And so so I just want you folks to be aware that this $100,000 could come down, but we will not be in any kind of deficit spending. There's plenty of money there to run the agency. So even though the e-board did not take up any of the budget issues from 2019-21, I mean, they're just really concerned right now about this whole COVID thing. And so I think the little bit amount that they were supposed to give us back, I think it was like $65,000 or something, they're not going to take that up. So we're just going to operate without that money.
There is a special session Monday, by the way.
Yeah, we're not.
If that matters, then I'm not saying you're involved in that. You're not.
No. No, they're going to talk specifically about the general fund budget, trying to balance that general fund budget
right
underneath the current forecast. But the good thing is this being another fund agencies. I know you commissioners haven't been here when we were a general fund agency, but thank God we're not a general fund agency anymore. That we are other funds, and so we will stay out of that ruckus. Because I think unless it's for the kids or something like that, you're going to be in trouble in general fund. So on our 21-23 budget, as Commissioner O'Day had alluded to, budgets are due at this point. The small agencies such as us was due August 1st. I was teasing him a little bit that they have another month, so the big agencies get to September 1st to put theirs in. So our budget was submitted timely. I sent a copy with your meeting books.
Right.
I want to thank everybody here in the agency, especially Susan. She went back to her English teacher skills and wore out the red ink on the computer. Yeah.
That was good.
She kept a lot of, it was really great. Yeah, I mean, she did a great job. It's nice to have somebody else look at the narratives that are out there and see, are we saying what we really want to say, and are we saying it the correct way? So she was very helpful in getting this budget put together. And of course, Virginia puts the whole book together for us. So, but that was submitted timely. We're looking at a little over $3,300,000 budget for the next biennium. We will be using savings, so we'll keep the revenues down that we're going to request from our people that pay the assessments, so state government and local government. So only requesting just a little bit over $3 million for the biennium. So with that, I'll go forward. On SEIs, I know you guys are trying to get used to this, but for somebody that's been with the agency as long as I have, only four filers are not filed out of roughly about 6,000 filers.
That's incredible.
That is awesome.
You know, I know they've been small numbers, but there literally were times where, you know, it was hundreds of people that hadn't filed. And so, you know, my hat's off to the front staff and to the system, but the front staff are calling these folks and getting them filed. So hopefully in the future you'll have much less of this, like we had with Mr. Hodson today, somebody that was late, that probably didn't mean to, saw a big fine, was kind of scared to call us, and you know, and so they're getting filed on time because our staff is actually reaching out to these folks. So the system gets it down to a level that we can actually handle with phone calls, and then our staff is calling these folks and getting them filed. So it's really working great. Like I said, there's only four left for the 2020 SEI. So the audit, going forward, the audit continues. Currently, they have access to our CMS system, so they're looking at that to see whatever they want to see. I'm not sure exactly what they're looking at, but we do know that they have asked for permission to be in there, and they are rummaging around inside of our casework. So I don't have a time frame on when the audit will be through, but I do know that they are working on it. I already talked about the outside counsel. You met her today, Emily Mazur. The Department of Justice really wasn't able to put any recommendations forward to us, so I tried to think of people that would have some experience in ethics laws that we could afford. And Emily was our policy advisor with the governor's office. So you heard Misha talk today that he was general counsel. Emily was in that group of counsel for the governor's office, and she was our specific policy advisor. So she's very aware of ethics laws, and now has gone to work for a private firm up there. So I hired her and, well, I guess in her firm, to represent us in that set of cases for the divorce case.
The policy in this regard is that you pay for the outside counsel, Ms. Alpaw doesn't, am I right?
Amy, you going to pay for his counsel?
Sorry.
Is everything cheap now?
No, it's the agency's responsibility to get its legal advice. There are times that we are conflicted out, and so the Department of Justice will ask us to find outside counsel,
sure.
And that's what happened here. So it's our responsibility.
Right.
I'm happy to share the contract with any of the commissioners here that we have. So
I feel like I should also announce a conflict of interest with respect to the hiring of outside counsel on this matter. So if you could record that in the record, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
So noted.
That's fine. So the agency continues to use all its resources to prevent. We have not had any COVID-19 problems here in the agency. For folks that have come in, you might see that our building landlord has put a temperature scanner out as you come in. So just one of the other indicators of COVID-19. And so I encourage staff that when you come in that you get scanned. To make sure that you have a normal body temperature coming into the building. We are trying to keep our distance inside the building and, of course, trying to wear the proper face masks when we can't social distance, such as being in this room. So I will say we continue to have talks about legislative concepts. I don't know where the governor is going on this, but I will tell you, since COVID-19, I haven't had a lot of discussions with the governor's office on legislative concepts probably over the last month and a half. So, and then lastly, I just put down there's only two clients left for second quarter of 20. Again, it attributes to David and Kathy making those phone calls to people, getting them filed. So I just want to remind folks that the best practices survey is out there. We need you folks to respond to that. Our performance measures are due in September or beginning of October, and that is part of our performance measures. There are commission openings right now. Commissioner Burke's term is up in September. Commissioner Edwards, who could not be here today, has indicated to me that she would She would like to be reappointed to a full term. She has her term that she was doing. She was ending somebody else's term. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. So she will come.
She's ending Kamala's.
No.
No. Kamala's or the gentleman who's the Salem guy, Chuck.
Oh, I think it was Chuck's. But anyway, she has asked to be reappointed. So she will be before the legislature in September legislative days. I just want to tack a quick thing on the meeting. So you folks who are out there in virtual land, see that there are commissioners here in the room. I don't want to discourage anybody from coming to the room. You're welcome to do that. We'll do whatever's necessary to make sure that we keep our distance and keep it safe in here. But if you just tell me that you're going to do that so we can plan that. But if anybody's got the idea that they can't come to the room or you have to get some kind of permission to come to the room, you don't. We just need to have for the planning of coming to the room. So if you're tired of doing the stuff virtually and you want to come in, tell me. We'll also, with this many people coming in, we'll try to feed you guys too since we're keeping you here that long. So anyway, that's all I had, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Unless there's anything else for the good of the order, that is all we have on our agenda. So, all right, well, welcome once again to Commissioner Hollister. We're so happy to have you with us.
Yes.
Hope you enjoyed your first meeting. So, everybody, stay safe. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Did you pick at it? Or did it just spontaneously
freeze? By the way, Ron, I'm convinced if we put my wife in front of that scanner, she'd fail because she's always freezing.
Maybe like
National Guard. Yeah. Maybe like temperature somewhere in the 60s.
I have some folks in here that run two heaters in the other day.
So does she.
It's 100 degrees outside.
Monica has her reflective sweater on.
It is so cold in here. I'm the one with
the two heaters. I'll be in shorts and a t-shirt, and my wife's like got a scarf.
So it is so cold. Like, I'm just like sitting here, like trying to like pull my sleeves down.
One of the things she'll do is she'll come, she'll be like, "Oh, hey, I'm so pretty." I'm like, "Ah!"
Yes, of course. I do that to my husband too.
You've got all the stuff.
Yeah.
And we got to get. Did we get them to work? Virginia on that the fall final order.
So this helps you then.
Oh my gosh.
So we'll do that again.
This is a lifesaver. I love that.
And then if you could just, if we start bouncing around all over this one.
Thanks, Ron.
Hey, take care.
Thanks, all.
Thanks, David.
Well,
take care.
Yeah, be safe. Yeah, this was fantastic.
Okay.
Because before I was like, I got this thing, and I was like, who is it?
Mine is the very first one that I messed up.
Perfect.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I love it. You got past like one hand.
Yeah. Well, I counted Sosa twice, I think.
Because
I was like,
is
two, four. He is not math. He is like history and avid.
So there's no
world
math
cultures.
In your background, huh?
My dad used to teach math. My brother's a nuclear engineer.
Wow.
And then there's me.
No, math, I don't do math. There's no.
Yeah, that's the reason that's why you
went
to law school. Yeah. No. But you can divide an hour by how many minutes?
Yeah, see, I don't have billables. I work on contingency.
Okay.
I love it. I don't have to worry about it. I used
if
to be billables.
You,
I hated
too
it.
Much, you good?
Yeah, I... I understand, like, the bar... But you know what amazes me is like Misha, like, I mean, did they give you guys any like strategy classes in law school? Like you really want to come out with both guns blazing and tell the chair that they did wrong?
Oh,
too?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I watched you guys. You guys all went back on your heels. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, that's really not a good place to start, dude.
That's
really not a good place.
Literally, he came out and said, look.
Oh, are we still recording?
We said the wrong statute.